This week we're remembering the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution, the upheaval that eventually led to the creation of the Soviet Union. The revolution changed so many things, of course, including art. Anna Weinstein has made it her job to show off the artistic legacy of the Russian Revolution. She's put together an exhibit of work by Jewish artists of the Russian and Soviet empires with themes of migration and memory. It's on view at the Museum of Russian Icons here in Massachusetts. Weinstein herself was born during the Soviet era in Leningrad, what today is St. Petersburg. I asked her what it was like to be a Jewish artist living in Russia before the revolution of 1917.
The vast majority of Jews were isolated to living in something called the Pale of Settlement, which is kind of spans across the western part of what would become the Soviet Union. Because Jews were largely excluded from major cities, they were excluded from the whole infrastructure of the art world.
The show features three sketches by L. Lisitsky. They're abstract if you kind of just glance at them, primary colors, geometric patterns against a white background. But then a second look kind of reveals really good draftsmanship and kind of a brain wired to science. Tell us about Lisitsky and how the revolution changed the life of this one artist.
So Lisitsky, very abstract, but both scientific but also spiritual and mystical, actually.
And what license did the revolution give to Lisitsky to do this?
Well, he had already been doing it, but what it did is give him a platform to bring this to much greater visibility, because it sort of turned upside down the art world hierarchies, and all the kind of much more traditional artists who had been at the top of that were suddenly no longer preeminent. And it shot him and people like him, like Malevich and Chagall, rather to the top of and receiving resources and attention.
The other item is not so much about an artist, but really about the item itself. It's a porcelain propaganda plate, really incredible because it is a dining plate, but on it there is this Red Army soldier dressed in teal stomping on the names of White Army generals, the generals of the Tsarists. And the edge of the plate is painted cobalt blue and decorated in gold leaf, stars, and letters. Who designed this plate and what's it saying?
So Mikhail Adamovich was an artist, one of a number of artists working at the former Imperial Porcelain Manufactory in St. Petersburg, which had been nationalized. The task for these artists was to proselytize the masses, to propagandize the masses. He's trying to kind of raise awareness of the things that are near and dear to the Bolshevik leadership's heart. And
Was it a kind of commemorative plate, or would people, like families, actually buy a dining set of like six of these and eat off them?
They wouldn't have been able to afford to, really. I mean,
that's
part of the
opulent
idea was to make porcelain more accessible to the broader masses than it had been before. But in reality, nobody would have had a set of these. It was just a single commemorative plate. And there were quite a few made. So this would have been an object of pride in somebody's home and beauty.
I think some of these objects will really surprise people. If you had to generalize, how do you think Americans typically have thought about Soviet-era arts and objects?
I think there's sort of an instinctive feeling that it was sort of stuck in the past, but a lot of art was being made outside of that style with greater or lesser repercussions. Most importantly, most of the time, people who were working outside of that style weren't able to exhibit their works publicly, weren't able to share and sell their works, but they were still making works, as they call it, into the table or under the table. And so a lot of the works in this exhibition that date from Soviet times are not works that would have been seen, but that were continuing to be made, some of which are simply not buying into the kind of the propagandizing kind of mission, and some of which are really trying to undermine it.
Today, what is life like for Jewish artists in Russia, and what are they saying in their work?
On the whole, since 1991, the Russian artistic sphere has opened up enormously. And one of the biggest things is that, you know, artists can now travel freely, can exhibit around the world freely. And so the kind of bidirectional exchange with that artistic milieu has expanded enormously, and that has benefited Jewish artists and non-Jewish artists. The question is going to be what happens going forward. Will that freedom of movement, that freedom of exchange continue? And also, what will the policies of the government be about expression and the people it affects?
Anna Weinstein, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.